Well, this is where we're at. We had a lovely Christmas Eve service, and we celebrated the birth of Christ. And here we are today. We are going to learn a little bit about Simeon and Anna, probably more like Simeon, because I'm going to focus on one person to talk about. This is the only story that shows up in Luke. It's the only story. He's the only one that covers it out of the four Gospels. And it really focuses on these two elderly, older, wise people. They're very unusual characters who were somehow able to recognize right away that this was the Messiah. They had been brought to the temple one day, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, and they looked ordinary. They looked like regular people to kind of honor Jesus, kind of like a baptism, but not a baptism. This was just an ordinary moment where they saw Jesus, but it was actually pretty extraordinary if you think about it. I mean, I was trying to think about Simeon. He was so focused on the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was able to see this, boldly claim it. He was awestruck about it. And I had wondered, well, I wonder how he was able to do that. Did he see this kind of vision in a dream? Did the Holy Spirit reveal this to him? Or how did he know this? And I know that in the Bible, things happen. We just can't explain. But it says there in the scripture that Simeon knew that Jesus was the Messiah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Simeon. His name is, it means to hear, and it's in Hebrew. And so maybe that's like a hint of Simeon's insight. He's often identified as one of the 70 Hebrew scholars. Ooh, I'm a mess today. Hebrew scholars who translated the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek. So on the left is the Hebrew, and then in the middle is the Greek. And this is the book that we know as the Septuagint. Have you heard of the Septuagint? Yes, I see a lot of nods. This is good. Luke says that the Holy Spirit promised Simeon that he would see this Messiah before he died. And Simeon was supposed to be 270 years old. That's a long time to wait. Imagine being 270 years old until you see this Messiah. So Simeon spent most or all of his life doing what we try to do in Advent, is wait with anticipation and watch and wonder. And he prepared for a long time for this fulfillment of the prophecy and the promise. This is not just a few days or a few years, but this is centuries. And it's no surprise that in Christian iconography that Simeon is old, and he's, how come I have a blank? There he is. He's old. He looks younger there, but he's old, and that in a lot of pictures, he's usually bent over. So we know that Simeon and Anna were at the temple when Jesus' parents come in, and as soon as he saw Jesus, he knew that he was the one. But what does it mean for Simeon to be this old? I don't know if we necessarily need to focus on his age in this, but what I do want to focus on is that he was an unusually religious person. He was in the temple every day, apparently, and he wanted so badly to be able to die in peace, so he held on until he could see the Messiah. This, to me, is actually kind of reminiscent of what's going on in a lot of people's lives. They have parents that are aging, that are maybe in the hospital, that are holding on to something. They're waiting for somebody or something to happen before they will die. And oftentimes they wait until after Christmas and then they start to pass. This tends to be the busiest time in a pastor's life besides Christmas and besides Easter, when we start to get calls where people have held on, and they're waiting for something, to see a light, to have some comfort, and then they go. The other thing that is obvious about Simeon, I think, is that he was very open-minded, and he was willing to take these risks. We know he was open-minded because he was able to discern that Jesus was the Messiah and the unlikeliest persons, this humble, ordinary baby who had been brought to the temple by his parents. And I think it takes a certain amount of openness to even consider that this normal child would be this promised Messiah. If you were looking for God in your life, where would you look for it? God. What kind of person do you think that God would be living in? You can answer. These are real questions. You can write it down. Would you be looking for certain signs or certain symbols, God-like symbols that could give you clues to the fact that this is the person that you've been waiting for? Or if you were looking for the Messiah today, wouldn't you expect the people to be these influential, well-known people? Or could you, like Simeon, be open-minded enough to see the face of the Messiah in the most unexpected place? Could your mind be open to seeing the Messiah in the face of a baby or a child or a homeless person on the street, or at that time a woman or a person of color or somebody in a same-sex marriage or somebody that has a disease or a disability? Or would you automatically rule all of those who are marginalized out and only look for people that are famous, that are well-known, that are good-looking? Would you have been able to recognize the Messiah in the face of the baby Jesus? Well, here are two parts that I think where the miracle lies. Simeon continued to show up to this temple, right? He continued to be vigilant and attentive and to trust in the promise. He continued to wait with hope and expectation. He never despaired, so he wasn't negative. He never walked away from this promise. The miracle for Simeon is in each of us. It's for us to continue to show up. To show up when the work is difficult, as we do, and to know that it's going to take time. It's going to be a lot of moving forward 2 steps and moving back 20 steps, or moving forward 10 steps and maybe moving back 5 steps. But that's always the question for us. Will we continue to show up? Will we continue to be awake and vigilant? Will we continue to live in hope and trust? Because showing up means that God will fulfill promises in our lives. The second thing that I want to highlight is Simeon was able to see Christ in the ordinary, the plain, the common baby. And we talk about this a lot. We talk about seeing Christ in people. We talk about, I know Reverend Dion talks about this a lot. He talks about this a lot in his sermons, his children's messages. He likes to take photos and show photos of where he saw Christ. And that's where Simeon saw Christ. He saw Christ in this ordinary little tiny baby. And he was inspired by that Holy Spirit. It was that same Spirit that had earlier in his life enabled him to believe and trust that God would fulfill God's promise to him. It was that same Spirit that helped him to focus on all of his energies on looking for his Messiah. It was the same Spirit that gave him the strength and the fortitude to keep looking day and night, high and low, anywhere and everywhere he could, so that his whole life was focused on the search for this promise that was then revealed to him. The Holy Spirit of God transformed his life, and it changed him so much that he no longer viewed the world the same way. Okay, So this is where it gets interesting. This is where I see Christ. How many of you have been to Din Tai Fung? Yeah. So Jesse and I, we took, so my in-laws were in town, and we took them to see Christ, to eat these dumplings with the soup inside. There's soup inside, and it literally melts in your mouth. That's my father-in-law. So we went there 4 times in a matter of, what, 1 week? Like a week and a half? Yeah, yeah. So the first time we went, we overordered, because that's what you do when you go there. You overorder. Then we felt like we were overly full. And then the fourth time, I think we got it down, we just ordered dumplings, right? Dumplings and some vegetables. But my father-in-law loves this place now. He was trying to get his fill before he left for Hawaii, right? Because they don't have one in Hawaii. But I think what I enjoyed in this was his joy, his simple joy of eating a dumpling. And this is where, these are those small moments where I get to witness somebody experiencing the joy of Christ in their life, right? Seeing the face of Christ in the ordinary places and the ordinary things brings hope to all of the despair in our world. Because let me tell you, there's a lot going on in our world and there's a lot of despair. All we have to do is open our minds and look. Look all around us. It is like a light shining in the darkness, is what we say, guiding us and giving us new direction. We begin to see the world differently. So this was yesterday. Marina took me to this Korean restaurant where you can only order in Korean. And so I wouldn't have been able to go there by myself. But it's this broth soup with beef, and then you add all of these kinds of ingredients to the soup to make it flavorful. And this was a great experience for me. So this was something new, it was something good, and it was something that I felt like, oh, this is amazing, another opportunity to see Christ. I think when we begin to see things differently, the world differently, our eyes become focused on recognizing the face of Christ all around us. In everyday things, everyday food, everyday people. And we begin to live our lives in gratitude for all of God's creation. We begin to look at all of these tiny living things as sacred and worthwhile things in our lives, simply because God created it. We begin to see each person, no matter how simple or complicated the person is, no matter how charming or spiteful the person is, as a person of sacred worth, as a person that is a loving creation of God. If we consider those examples that Jesus used to teach and preach to his followers, the followers in the fields, the sheep and the shepherds, these really ordinary, on-the-margin people, the workers in the vineyards, the women and the children and the other persons whom society had devalued, the leper. These are all of those ordinary, the everyday, the run-of-the-mill things. This is really nothing extraordinary or inherently unusual about the majority of the things that Jesus talked about. But what is extraordinary is the way that Jesus talked about these people, the way that he looked at the people, the way that he viewed all life as God's creation. His way and his words, his path are a light in the midst of the darkness and the hopeless and the despair of our everyday life. And looking at the world through the eyes of Christ changes the way we see things. That's where the ordinary becomes extraordinary. That's where the lights and the hope and the peace and the joy are born into our world. We look at life in a new way. So likewise, the Holy Spirit reveals to us these wonders of God in all of the time and all of the places that inspires us to be able to see the face of Christ and of the love of God everywhere. It is in this Holy Spirit that transforms us and makes us to be able to see what we could not see without the grace of God revealing the promised one to us. The wonder of Christ, the wonder of this Christ child is all around us, in the everyday, in the simple, the ordinary people and places. All we have to do is look. I challenge you during this Christmas tide to look for those spaces. Look for all of those ordinary things. Where have you seen the Spirit revealed through the people around you? And how have you seen these kinds of acts of love and kindness in the spirits brought out and resting in your hearts? How has their love transformed you and enabled you to see what can be ordinary into extraordinary moments? Amen.